seeing afresh to change our mind. The eyes feed the mind. Sometimes we try so hard to change our minds, to not think certain thoughts. One of the most overlooked ways to change one's mind is to attend to what one looks at, to practice feeding one's eyes. To change your mind, to interrupt anxiety, or to practice gratitude, or notice more beauty, pay attention to what you are literally looking at. Is it feeding the part of you that wants to be fed? See where you are, not so much to locate yourself emotionally, but physically. What are you looking at? Observe yourself in your surroundings. See who you are in this place. Do you want to keep your eyes here and change how you are using them? Look up, look out, look away, look ahead, look into, look back. Do you want to go somewhere else and see something different? Look at what you are looking at and see where you are. See who you are, see what you are a part of, not just to identify yourself, but to look at the world outside yourself and feel the exchange between your small self and this immense, astonishing world. So often I have looked at the world with the eyes of austerity, the eyes of worry, the eyes of fear. I still see many things that trouble me deeply. But I also honor what is beautiful, whether it is extraordinary, like a Balinese volcanic mountain terraced with rice fields, or as familiar as the artichokes and raspberries growing in the backyard, or as subtle as the shadows of small stones. Beauty surrounds us, but sometimes we must be walking in a garden to see it, Rumi declared. Walking in that garden, we observe different things. As we look at the lilac and the plum, the lobelia and the strawberries, the birches and the flower maples, our thoughts can take off and travel on different roads. And at those times when we can't literally be walking in the garden, we can remember the garden in our mind's eye. There is much to learn about the discipline of feeding the eyes, about celebrating the beauty of the world. I yearn to see through what I know into a truer seeing, not idolizing or diminishing or trying to fit what I see into what I know. Just as we sometimes need to go outside our own personal routines and the garments of our culture to see how they hold us, so we need to extend beyond the usual habits of our vision and our nervous systems to see the rhythms dancing the world into the forms we see. There is a kind of looking that breaks open the distance between the one who looks and that which is looked at. Things look back at us. In certain moments, we are received by what we perceive. The more I look at candle flames and white flowers, the light at the edge of the oak trees and the reflection of the sun at dawn, the more I feel the lines of light that connect everything. At those moments, I know that the more we see beauty, the more beauty we are able to see.
Thank you, Carolyn. You brought great beauty to the reading. I'm a visual person, so descriptions of seeing touch my heart more deeply than many other things in life. And when Ruth Gendler wrote Notes on the Need for Beauty, she started here. Who gave you your eyes? This is one of my favorite questions. As I take notes on the need for beauty, I want to consider how you and I see the world. I can't know how you see the world, so I ask you, who gave you your eyes? Inside this question are several other questions. Who taught you to see? Who taught you what to see? What not to see? What are you paying attention to? What is beautiful to you? We see in the light and in the dark. We see before we can speak. We see with our eyes closed. We see in our dreams. We see much more than we can ever say. I remember someone showing me how to tie my shoelaces, how to drive, how to tear paper with a straight edge, but I can't remember not seeing and someone showing me how to see. In the movie What the Bleep, they talk about perception, and they say that in every moment, in every place, there are over a million, maybe as many as 3 million details, bits of information in the milieu that we exist within. But we comprehend and perceive and are aware of only 2,000 to 3,000 of them. So the vast majority of what's here is outside of our awareness. And as we see differently, as we open to seeing differently, we can change that number of pieces that we perceive. And much of this book is about perceiving beauty and allowing other people's eyes and their perception of beauty to inspire us to open our eyes to the beauty that they see. Because that is a way that we can transfer consciousness very powerfully. We can inspire others by showing them what of the million things in the room that we're focused on that happens to be beautiful to us. Things that we never noticed, they may be perceiving, and they're exquisite things. But until we share what we see, until we share what we perceive, until we share what we imagine, we aren't connecting with that incredible beauty that they are perceiving, that they are experiencing, that maybe we aren't in that moment. She said, sight leads to insight. And so when we share our sight, when we share the wonder, when we share the awe, when we share the reverence, when we share the curiosity or the playfulness or the joy that we can perceive, we can be inspired in our minds to fresh ways of looking at other things, not just the one thing that we were inspired to see anew. On Friday night, I went out to dinner with my friends Vesta and Gordon, and they had their 2-year-old a granddaughter with them. And she is a firecracker. She is so adorable. She has bright red hair. And her mom puts it in 2 pigtails here that come up and out. So she looks like a little firecracker and the hair bounces around. It is so incredibly cute. I've never seen a little girl that was quite so adorable as Lauren at this point. And Lauren's obsession on Friday night was Crick-McLight. She demanded through all the ride there and all the dinner and all the ride after that we had to go find some Crickmac lights for her to see. And she would exclaim anew with ecstasy at the next house that had put out some Christmas lights. And her joy was overflowing. Her light within her matched the light and exceeded the light that we were able to drive around and find. Her excitement was contagious. The 3 of us in the car with her were so eager to find more Crickmac lights for her that she could feed her heart with the beauty that she was apprehending for the first time this year. That inspiration and that joy.
That should be a boy.
So glad you came.
Thank you. A little belated, but
yeah.
Not really.
So glad that you arrived.
An emergency.
Uh-huh. We're privileged that you arrived. So we're talking about beauty and the ability to see beauty and the ability to share the beauty that we see. And I was talking about going out searching Christmas lights in Sterling with a 2-year-old on Friday night. And her incredible, overwhelming joy at the beauty that surrounded her in just driving by a house that someone had decorated with colored lights. And it's amazing the creativity of people with, you know, 4-foot-tall lollipops and candy canes and palm trees and dolphins with Christmas hats on. Stunning. When it shows you what perception is like, because when I was a kid, there was a particular house that had this ostentatious display of Christmas lights, and everybody in the city knew about it and would go see it every year at Christmas. It created traffic jams, and the woman that worked with my mother said that her children would come when Christmas season was coming around and saying, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, can we go see the vulgar display again this year?" To them, that was the greatest possible compliment. Oh, yeah, to them, it was exquisite. And I always love that clear demonstration of the difference between the way we see and what's beautiful to us and what makes us laugh. Ruth Gendler said, we perceive beauty in what we are curious about, what we become connoisseurs of, what we become passionate about and fuss over, what we give ourselves to wholeheartedly. We find beauty in what we love. Rumi said, borrow the beloved's eyes, see through them, and you'll see the beloved everywhere. And Ruth Gendler said, being with the beloved takes infinite forms. As we see with the eyes of love, we allow ourselves to see the divine in whatever we're looking at. And when we appreciate whatever is, we are praising God because God is in all things. And the beauty that we perceive is a quality of God. And a few years ago, we did the whole series all year long on the qualities of God. We studied mind and grace and harmony and beauty and order and peace and power and prosperity. And I used to create a brochure every month with the quality of God that we were studying. And one of them happens to be beauty. And this particular one, Earlene Revis did the talk that month, and she chose these quotes on beauty. So here's something to take home to consider about the beauty in the beloved's eyes. So many people, artists and writers and lovers of all kinds, have spoken of beauty in such powerful ways. The essence of beauty is spirit. And she talks a lot about light and color. She said, I love the light that comes in through our eyes and the light that goes out from the eyes of the ones I love. Sometimes inside one human being, there is so much space. Glimpsing inside takes one deep into an ocean. The eye is like a star, reflected in the night sky waters. Light dances through water at the edges of clouds. Ruth Gendler's ability to see beauty and describe it in words just gives me goosebumps so often. The clarity of her expression, the power of her observation, and the willingness to love that comes to me through her words just takes me to a whole nother place. And I hope that by reading you what she says, that you can feel that inspiration that comes from her. And we have this opportunity to borrow the consciousness of other people through their words and their expressions. This whole book is Ruth Gendler sharing her eyes with us and her capacity to see. She is allowing us to learn to see through her eyes, to let her give us new eyes. And in the course of working with her material, I went to the library and asked for a book On a totally different subject, in the book sitting next to it on the shelf was this book called Light Posts for Living, The Art of Choosing a Joyful Life by Thomas Kincaid, who is a painter, and I have one of his paintings in my house. And when he writes about what he paints, he says the most powerful inspiration that he has is beauty and light. And he writes about, he paints about the feeling of coming home. And he intends that his paintings be about a life that is beautiful, so that people who may not have a beautiful life can see through what he paints what a beautiful life could feel like, and be inspired to look within their own experience for a more beautiful life. And as I was preparing the book, preparing the talk on Scandler, I copied a lot of pieces from this book by a painter. He said, "I believe we grow toward joy as we learn to stretch our beauty muscles, to expand our understanding of what is beautiful. For some of us, that may mean learning to open our eyes to the beauty around us, beauty we might not recognize because we expect it in a different form." So finding the beauty in the forms that surround us, allowing others to express the beauty that they see to us, even if it isn't the beauty that we prefer. There are millions of artists throughout time who've expressed their concept of beauty, whether it's expressive or you know, abstract, whether it's realistic or simply colors or motion. Their potential to take us into a beauty that we haven't seen. The potential of musicians to express. I hear the lyrics of a song and they are expanded by the music and the harmony and the rhythm and the space within the music that takes me to a whole nother understanding of what is happening there. And sometimes the lyrics and the music don't match, but I'm still so moved by one or the other, independent of the one. There, the ability to see. She says we can focus on the surface or see with the eye of the heart to the inside. See with the eye of the heart. A visionary sees what is and sees through what is to what could be. We have the capacity to look in and look out, much like we breathe in and breathe out. Look into the words, world of intuition and imagination, energy, vision, and dreams. Light shimmers around the edges, and what looks solid and familiar is revealed as spinning, whirling, dancing. It is beautiful to explore the play between what we bring our eyes to look at and what comes to our eyes when we allow them to receive. And we see beauty with not just our eyes, but with our hearts and with all of our senses, with our feelings, with our emotions, with our touch. We feel beauty in texture. I often hug people and tell them how pettable they are today because I feel the beauty through my hands in softness, and I see the grain of wood, and I see the motion, and I see the fractal patterns that exist in nature that are reflected and repeated in so many places. The beauty that's here all the time, everywhere, in every detail. I've told most of you dozens of times probably that my friend Margie said to me once, life is in the details, and there's something in every scene that sparkles. And we can choose to go through life looking for what sparkles, and it can change everything. I drive through my world and I look for things that are beautiful, and I drive down Route 7 where other people see concrete, and I see fountains, and I remember where I saw the deer
or where the hawk sits on the wire, or where the groundhog waved at me one day as I drove by. And I write about what I see, and people all over the world write back to me and think that I live in a rural area because I have extraordinary experiences with foxes and owls and nature and flowers and trees because I live in a garden, because I perceive a garden everywhere I go. The garden is in my mind and in my heart, and therefore I attract pieces of it everywhere I look. And I see the beauty of the architecture, and I see I look at a house and I see the people who call it home, who decorate it with Christmas lights, or plant a flower or a tree, or put a wreath on the door, or a light in the window. It's amazing how much beauty there is in life. We have heard the expression, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so often we don't deepen into what it means. Although we see each other, we don't see what or how the other sees. Humbly, tentatively, with frustration and love, we speak about how we see things, to begin to know each other's lives and points of view. We begin to appreciate each other's insights and outlooks. We say, perhaps I am not seeing all there is. Perhaps I need to see it your way. Maybe there is more here than meets the eye. She went on to say, seeing changes us. Seeing more, we are more alive. Being alive, we are constantly seeing new things. We sightsee, traveling both to feed our eyes new sights and to return home and see the familiar with fresh eyes. You might say that the greater challenge is to see what is familiar. But traveling, a change of scene, the shock of breaking routine, works to wake and shake us up so that when we return, the familiar becomes a bit stranger. We see so expansively sometimes, and we see so specifically sometimes. And seeing how other people see often makes me cry. And I was sitting at dinner one night in Las Vegas, not a place where you expect to cry from the joy of people seeing necessarily, but Las Vegas has often moved me to see with new eyes. I mean, they recreate places on the planet that are incredibly beautiful there for you to see them, like pyramids and towns in Italy and places in France. And I mean, it's an extraordinary place where millions and billions of dollars are put into creating visual effects. But the story that I was told in Las Vegas that night was about a minister friend of mine named Carmen who went to Florence. And she went to the gallery where the statue of David is displayed. And she walked in and she began to look up at it, said that she had no idea it was so huge. And so it takes some looking up at to comprehend it. And she said she looked in awe and looked in awe and finally began to cry and cried for an hour. Because in that moment, she saw through the eyes of the master how Michelangelo saw the beauty of humanity. And she tapped into his capacity to see and to reveal that beauty. And she was transported by that vision of the beauty that she'd never before seen in the body, that she'd never before comprehended through her own eyes. And the experience of empathy with a consciousness that has taken something to a level of perception beyond our own is just an extraordinary gift. To see through the eyes, sometimes I see it as a tree, you know, there's this whole tree that is this possible to perceive. And each one of us is out there on the end of a branch. And we can perceive a little bit of the horizon around us. But we may only see a little bit of the branches on either side of us. And someone else may be seeing a branch on the other side of a tree. And in some moment, we may have the transcendent experience of expanding our vision to something they've been able to express that takes us into a quantum leap in vision, in a way, to their capacity to perceive and love and adore the divine in life and open our eyes and our hearts and our being to that gentleness or that joy or that beauty or that harmony or that grace that hasn't touched us before in that way. And the divine wants to see through our eyes. We have the capacity to see as God sees in minute moments, in tiny ways, the essence of life, the qualities of God are present in all their fullness in every millimeter of the universe. And to open ourselves to that potential to see, to be, to love, to know, to perceive, to touch, to feel is a life-changing experience. And we see it for a moment and then we lose it. And it feels so devastating. But now I have these openings. The doorway to the infinite opens for a moment and then shuts again. But I have the remembrance of that moment. And I write it down when it happens. And I read my own book, you know. I read my own experiences and I remember, even when I've forgotten. And I allow other extraordinary people whose doorways are opening to remind me of that vibration, of what it is possible to see. And now I call those experiences previews of coming attractions. Because I know that my life is expanding, my vibration is increasing, my frequency is lifting. And more I can sustain that ability to see beauty, to comprehend love, to open my heart to the eyes of God and allow that to be my more regular experience throughout life through appreciation of beauty and power and light and love and through listening and asking others, who taught you to see? How do you see? What do you see that's beautiful? Take me and show me what's beautiful to you. And so that's what we're going to do in the second half. I'm going to ask you to show me what's beautiful to you. We're going to do a meditation on something a little more concrete that Ruth Gendler wrote, and then come within ourselves to feel what's beautiful to us and maybe have a chance to have a discussion to share a little bit of the beauty that we see and the love that we are in this world. So thank you for letting me vent on notes on the need for beauty.
That was a real summary.